Gang Green, season 9, episode 2. Mm. Wow. We just keep on plugging them out, huh?
Just push them out.
Pushing.
It takes
9 years, 2 episodes. Wow. Well, not 9 years yet. We're in our ninth year.
Only our second episode in 9 years.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
I think we're almost close to 300.
Wow. You can tweet at us at GangGreenTV. And Instagram is GangGreenTV. And we're on iTunes and RedsArmy.com. And GangrenTV.com and YouTube, and it's all at GangrenTV.
Everywhere you want to be.
Yeah, except the Army. We're right here in the studio.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
You can call us, too. Not the Army. The Army cannot call us. We're too old.
The stats is not too old.
So
actually, I think I still have 2 more years.
Oh, really?
I think it's 36 or 34.
No, I'm way too young, man.
Oh, no, man. You're... Pass.
Anyways, give us a call at 508-731-GGTV. Guess how old I am, and you can win an ice cream sandwich.
A chipwich.
A chipwich.
Or
yeah.
A choco taco.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm keeping all the chipwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fight stats for a chipwich.
That would be a good promo.
Wrestle stats for a chipwich.
Yeah. Okay.
Give us a call. You want to wrestle stats for an ice cream sandwich.
We have 1 week down in this NBA and Celtics.
Okay, so I'll just throw it out there.
Okay.
1-3. How you guys feeling?
I don't know what I was thinking last week.
How you guys feeling? If I had my notes, I would say 50 games, Kurt? Really?
I would say 50 games, Kurt? Really?
Really?
The one day you're going to be positive is on prediction day?
Oh,
what the
man.
Hell was
Wrong
I thinking?
Wrong way to do it.
Wrong way to
what
do it.
What were you thinking?
The one day of the year I picked was prediction day.
Okay.
Good job.
It's early in the season. We don't have to freak out yet. Let's not set fire to the dumpster yet.
Okay.
Okay. Let's just say.
Wait, are we in the dumpster already?
Well, I'm just saying. It's usually a dumpster fire at this point when we're all just like running around like chickens with our heads cut off.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I'm all right. It's only 1-3.
There's a lot of.
So Toronto's 5-0. I mean, let's not freak out, guys. Let's not freak out.
Man, they've played more games than us, and they've won more games than us.
It's tough to do.
Yeah.
It's tough. Season's young.
We have, what, 4 games? Yeah.
We got a game Friday.
Yes, we do.
Against the Wizards.
Yes, we do.
That might be 1-4 after that, but I don't know.
Oh, man.
Hey, it's not bad, though. It's still young. It's a team. It's a
I might have
team.
To half my prediction.
It's a young team working together, trying to get it a hold
Are
of
Are they
everything.
Working together, though? There's not a lot of cohesiveness
well,
in this team.
Well, I still think David Lee doesn't really understand what's going on. I don't think he knows that he's the Gerald Wallace of the group anymore.
He's not, though, because he's playing.
He's
right,
playing.
But I mean, he's kind of in that, like, hey, you're really not supposed to play. We're giving you the minutes out of pure respect, but I kind of think that's where they pushed the Gerald Wallace into as well in the beginning.
I had a basketball date last week, and I watched a game live.
Oh, Kurt, who was your date?
Nah, it wasn't you.
No, it wasn't. But I still saw you when I got you drunk.
That's right. Here's what I realized.
Yeah.
I had an epiphany.
Okay.
If you play basketball, you have a much better chance of winning if the ball goes through the hoop.
Mm. Well, then. You heard it here first.
And the problem with the Celtics is it's not really going through the hoop. Have you seen them jump shoot this year?
It's been pretty awful.
Right. That's
technically, I haven't.
Okay, so yeah.
Well,
but
yeah.
That has to the ebbs and flows. That has to change, right?
Yeah. No, I mean.
Are they is that why RJ Hunter played last night?
No, they said that on the radio that him and Terry played because they had family there.
Okay, then.
That's what Brad Stevens was saying. But
it's
gotta
be because Smart wasn't playing, right?
That's
no, he
it,
had
I'm
his
sure.
toe problem.
But part of it, you know, overall, I mean, some of these shots are going to start falling, obviously. But I think the main impression that I have so far is that the rotations aren't figured out,
yeah.
And that it seems like he's kind of caught. Brad Stevens is kind of caught in this thing where it's like, you know, he's trying different combinations and stuff, and then if some guy's hot, maybe you change your plans or. You know, like in the last game, if Tyler Zeller's not really clicking, then he doesn't get any second half minutes. And, you know, it's kind of like a mix and match thing.
That's tough to do all year, though.
Yeah, I mean, I chalk part of it up to playing the Spurs, who, you know,
right.
I mean, they said it on, I don't know if it was the broadcast or what, but like, Tim Duncan has like a ridiculous record against the Celtics, I think, besides the Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and KG era, he's only lost to the Celtics like once in his whole career.
Now, the last few games that came about, I mean, it wasn't terrible losses. So,
no,
I mean,
there's stretches where they just...
There are many stretches in the games where they're not really playing. But there's also, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is during San Antonio, they were kind of holding their own for a minute. Like, towards the third, they were kind of holding their own. And then, of course, the bottom falls out a little bit, and then you got to kind of move. You always have to say, no matter what, I mean, there's always a 99% chance that you're going to lose against San Antonio, no matter what. We don't have the guys that would go head-to-head with their men, and it's a tough matchup altogether, no matter what. It always has been, even during the big three era, during the KG PSA.
Well, yeah, when you play a good team, it's going to be tough.
Right, exactly. And they're still a good team, no matter how old they get. They found the fountain of youth. That team is the fountain of youth. And they're just playing a young, not ready for prime time Celtics team.
I mean, just look at the starters. You're starting Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart until the last game.
Right.
And those are three guys who offense is the secondary part of their game, at least right now. Right.
Right.
You know, Avery Bradley's had kind of spurts where he's shot the ball pretty well, but, you know, overall, historically, he's not the best shooter. He's not a great scorer. So, you know, to balance that, you start David Lee, who's maybe your offense first guy. And, you know, at the beginning there, they were starting Zeller, who's another, you know, I mean, he's kind of a cleanup guy, really.
Right.
I know he's taken a few jump shots, but I think it's just finding the right balance and finding the right mix. I mean, it seems like guys like Isaiah Thomas and Amir Johnson have chemistry. It's figuring
whether
that out.
They start or come off the bench, those two are good, right?
Yeah, when they're healthy. I mean, Amir's banged up.
I still feel like it goes right back to last year. Like, how soon this happens, you know? Like, I'm already like, oh, that's right, we need another scorer.
Right.
It's like we had all these, like, things that we needed in the offseason, and then, like, you get kind of caught up in, like, the preseason stuff, and then you're like, oh, that's right. Yeah. Isaiah can't be the only one that puts the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
His shooting's come around a little bit, but, like, you need someone else to score. They ran a play at the end of the game last night. Like, I don't like Avery Bradley being the guy they're running plays for. I mean, I know I'm supposed to really like Avery Bradley, and I like him. I don't. Yeah. Maybe it's because we had Paul Pierce for 12 years.
That's what I was gonna say. It's gonna be different.
You know?
No matter who is here, it's gonna be different because we're not used to it. But it's definitely a work in progress for sure.
Point gap between Isaiah Thomas being Isaiah Thomas coming off the bench, and then Bradley starting, the point gap for those two. It's amazing. You got Isaiah Thomas, who's coming off the bench, and he's already got, in the past four games, he's got 94 points. And then you got Bradley, who's starting these games, and he's only at 56 points.
Yeah, I mean,
so, like, I mean, I know you want to, like, we talked about the Celtics maybe kind of doing that secret thing where they're like, you know, we're going to make you the sixth man of the year. But, like, there's got to be a point in time where you're like, we really can't. We can't keep you on the bench. We have to start.
I think you saw the reason why they do that last night, because he was getting abused by the Pacers early on defense,
right.
And
yeah,
that's why you take him off the bench, because, you know, most of his, or at least a lot of his minutes, ideally come against, you know, the lesser offensive players in the second unit.
He's only 7 minutes shy of what Bradley's doing.
Right. It's just, I like him coming off the bench personally.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but it's almost like he's starting.
Yeah,
I mean, he's only got. He's got 121 minutes, where Bradley has 128 minutes.
I mean, like we say, it's like it's more important who finishes the game, right?
Right.
And he's out there.
He's out there doing it.
And he's gonna be the high scorer whether he starts or comes off the bench or starts at halftime. Like, you know, like,
right. Save the odd, you know, Evan Turner miracle game, or, you know.
I want him to be that offensive guy, and he's just.
He's too average at everything and not good at, like, one thing.
Like, he's not. Right. I don't watch him in, like, hate him, but he's just not, there's nothing there that, like, says, oh, you know, that's exciting.
Like, just, if he was good at one thing, you could, like, hang your hat on. Like,
yeah.
If he was a good, he was a really, you know, above average mid-range shooter, if he was a really above average, you know, driver to the hole or something like right. that, you could hang your hat on it. But, you know, he just does a little bit of everything and not anything particularly well.
So our first reactions to the rookies.
They haven't really played.
You're not a very big Rozea fan.
They haven't played.
They haven't played, but Hunter's played more minutes than Terry, and Jordan Mickey's doing better than
well,
both,
they both
of them
got,
combined.
They both got sent up to Maine already.
Right, but I'm saying the rookies are not what they're kind of panned out to do here.
I think there's just too much in front of them. There's too much, like,
there's
too much of a log
jam. It's a log jam.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, Mickey, you know, on the right team would get a lot of minutes, like, if he was on, like, the Lakers or something like that.
Jordan Mickey, more points than Terry Rozea.
Huh.
If you want to go points.
I think less rebounds, too, because Rozier had, like, five rebounds last night or something.
That's weird.
Well, Jordan Mickey's only played 2 minutes, where Rozier has played 8 minutes, and there has been nothing coming out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's too early to tell.
Anyways, it's 1 week overreacting.
Right.
I'm like,
well, that's the whole reason.
I'm pulling the reins way back because I don't know what I was thinking last week.
Well,
but why don't we take a quick break, collect ourselves?
Maybe you're drinking too much Kool-Aid.
Maybe. I was drinking a lot of Kool-Aid last week, apparently.
That, well.
50 games.
There's a 12-pack of Kool-Aid out in the trash right
Jeez. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about some other stuff. You like that? Other stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. Gangrene TV on iTunes is brought to you by Viking Motorsports. For all your general repairs and performance upgrades, Viking Motorsports is located on 134 Newbury Street, Peabody, Mass. That's Route 1 South, 978-536-3278. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes, and thank you to Viking Motorsports. All right, guys, one thing I wanted to touch on today is Marcus Smart. Understatement, pretty important piece to this team, right?
Yeah.
I was underwhelmed last year, as is probably everyone. The one thing I would change about him is that stupid haircut. Drives me crazy. I don't know why.
Well, he's got Sully on the hook now with that stupid haircut.
I don't know why it bothers me so much. Maybe I'm just getting so old that I'm just like, cut your hair. You know?
But. Cut your hair, you hippie.
But
you turn into the Steinbrenner.
Yeah, no, I want it like Stats and I, we were at the reveal. The date was Stats.
date was Stats. I think everybody knew that. Meanwhile, I'm off the side. I'm at the same game, but I'm in a whole nother section of the place.
Well, we were holding hands, you know.
I was hanging out with some famous people. So,
well, hey, right. You know, we were hanging out with each other, and we were in love, so it was fun.
Right, that's fine.
Shared a pretzel.
I was rubbing elbows with some famous up-and-comers.
Well, good for you.
You know?
I'm not impressed.
George. Section.
I do like George.
Mr. Section 328. Me and him were just, you know, rubbing elbows.
So what he said to me is like, you know, Kurt.
The seats were closed. That's why.
Let's break this down. I was like, I really, really, really want to like Marcus Smart.
Right.
Because I don't like him yet. I mean, like, I like him. Like, you know, he's fine. But, like, we're talking about, like, this team is almost on the verge of, like, you can see it can become that, like, pre-KG era team where you, like, loved everyone on the team. And I think Smart is an important piece. And I really, really want to like him. Because let's face it, like, we're, like, 2 years, 3 years removed from Paul Pierce now.
Yeah.
And we're still trying to fill some sort of void.
Right.
Of someone we can, like, that's my dude, you know?
Right.
I want to like Marcus Smart.
But
and Stats said, I think it's only going to get easier.
He's to like him?
Yeah. And over the first few games, I kind of saw that. He plays really hard. If he can just start hitting, like, his shot more or, like, scoring a little bit. He plays great defense. He hustles. He's, like, almost a perfect kind of Boston guy where he's just a hard worker and, like, he's always on.
See, like, the problem with we kind of touched a little bit about this last week. The problem with Marcus Smart is you give him the benefit of the doubt because we're in year two now of Marcus Smart.
Two, yeah.
Okay, so last year you didn't really put too much on it. So you're right. You know, it's going to get a little easier, hopefully. You give him the benefit of the doubt his second year because you're not new, but you're still learning. So by year three, if he doesn't get it, he's still not going
to. You're even way ahead of where I am. I just want to like him this year.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying is you don't have the mental cap to like him. Like you almost can't like him. You can like him, but not you can't like hang your hat on this guy.
No, he's got till the All-Star break to be Chauncey Billups.
I think you gotta give him a lot more time.
Right.
You know, I think it's just gonna take time. You know, like you said, he's kind of got the personality and stuff for, you know, the play style.
I think the more you watch him, like, we still don't even really know him, you know? Yeah. He was hurt last year, and...
At what point in his Celtics career, though, do you say, this guy's not going to get it? We're
a ways from that, I think.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, give a number. Like,
I say year four, because you know how I'm fed up with Sully right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's, like, kind of where we're at with Sullinger, and now that he's at the end of his rookie deal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example of a guy who doesn't get it and never will.
Because if you remember the beginning of last season, we were still kind of like, I think Sully may, you know. But now I'm out.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm out of the
He's
whole
playing
Sully.
His way into that. Maybe he's going to prove me wrong. But that's, I mean, I'm not writing Marcus Smart.
I'm not writing Marcus like Smart. Him. I want to, too. I enjoy Marcus Smart.
I spend a lot of time on this show talking about how much I don't like particular people on the Celtics.
Every franchise needs that guy, like you said. Everybody needs a Pierce. Everybody needs that – you know, David Ortiz type player, Tom Brady type guy. You know, you want to just like him and you want to run with him and you want to, you know, this is my dude. Like you said, this is my dude. This is who I want. Right now, besides Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart is that dude.
Yeah.
He's your dude, you know? And it's easier for Marcus Smart to be your guy because he's growing up in the Celtics system. Isaiah Thomas, obviously, did not grow up in the system, but he's, you know, now with us, and, you know, you want the Paul Pierce type guy, like you said, you know, and you're right. Marcus Smart is perfect example of that.
That's right.
So
what do you get any more thoughts on Marcus? I mean, you're the college guy. I didn't get to watch him a lot in college. And
yeah, I mean, I think we kind of talked about it last week. It's like you kind of have to wait for this point that you don't know when it's going to come, and it's when you find out whether or not he can shoot.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
He's already a little bit better than Rondo at shooting.
Not saying much, like I said.
Yeah. I know. It's like, but they're letting him handle the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Which is good,
right? That's what I wanted to see is, like, giving him more responsibility and giving him a bigger part of the offense. Like, we kind of talked about the game. It's like, you know, you kind of start counting internally, like, how many times he takes the ball up and hides in a corner.
Right.
And then, like, you count the times where he stays in the corner. You count the times where he – you know, just shuffles the baseline or, you know, is actually involved in the play. And it seems like he's getting involved more and being a bigger part of it. It's just, you know, those kinds of plays, I mean, they can't run some of the same stuff that they would for other players like Isaiah Thomas because he doesn't have two threats.
I know. He's so tough, though. I'd like to see him go to the hole a little bit more, but
I think that comes with, like, confidence. And,
you
know, it's really tough to be a rookie in the NBA. I think we've seen it, you know, like, pretty drastically, especially with, like, a guy like Kelly Olynyk, who his first year felt like he couldn't not pick up three or four fouls in a game.
Right.
It's because you don't get the benefit of the doubt from the officials, and it's almost like they're looking to give you fouls. And, you know, I think it's something that he's just going to have to learn, especially as kind of a, you know, a guard going to the hole. I think that's something that very few, you know, only, like, really special players walk in with.
But don't you think that would change the game immensely?
Yeah, but it's, you know, I think he's at the point where, you know, I think he can do that. But if they play off you because they know that you're not going to pull up.
That's true. That's,
you know,
true.
It makes it a lot harder.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, that's my take on him now is it's, you know, it's still.
It's funny.
It's still really early.
Danny Ainge loves shooters, but he repeatedly drafts guards that can't shoot.
It's almost like he's trying to draft himself. Right?
Yeah.
It's like he's on this never-ending quest to, like, have a team full of Danny Ainges. That's true. You know.
I did love me some Danny Ainge.
You know what? I never really thought about that. It's a team full of Ainges.
He was a good shooter, though.
He was decent.
Pretty good back in the day.
He wore a great shirt that says everybody hates Danny.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's true.
Sometimes it's true.
All right. We another thing that we got into last week, and we were just reminded. PG-13.
Yes.
Great nickname. I don't know if I probably didn't make it up because it's pretty too obvious,
nope,
right?
No, nope, you heard it here first. We made up PG-13.
We're taking credit?
We're taking credit. I don't care if you made it up.
It's good to
prove
know.
It that you made it up, and we'll prove it that
this
we did.
This show might be rated PG-13.
This show is sometimes rated R. Okay.
That's okay. Anyways, so in other, we talked in the first segment how like my 50 wins came like crashing down. I was like, wow, you know, being positive.
Right.
My mind was blown when Stats brought up the Paul George thing. I was like, oh my God, he's so right. I was at my other job telling people like, no, Paul George is coming, guys. I promise you, he'll be here. You know, I was convinced. I was just like, never thought of it. And I was just convinced. And then I saw him play with that team. There was no way they're trading him.
I think the reason I, you know, kind of, I didn't predict it, or I'm not like guaranteeing it. I think it's something you need to explore. But the reason I said that is because I kind of saw them imploding this year. And they're definitely not doing that yet. But
not
I don't
yet.
See, I wouldn't be surprised if they rattle off like a 2-8 streak here.
Yeah. You know? He's a damn fine player, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's great. Man. And you know,
what would you give up for him? We talked about this last week, but I would give. Yep. Any package you want.
So name a package.
All right. Well, I was trying to go through the expiring contracts
wait,
in my
all,
head,
and
it's
it,
everybody.
Let's
right?
Let's do it like this. For PG-13, what kind of package would be required to get a guy like that? Are we talking like 2-for-1? We talking one with picks? We talking one picks and cash?
It's probably 3 people and 2 picks.
You think it's that many people?
You got to match salary, my friend.
But you really think that's that much?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
when is it too much?
I think for Paul.
KG was like 7 people on draft picks.
Right. But, I mean, we also, I don't know.
Right now,
you can't pull a KG trade now. Like
I would give Evan Turner, Sullinger.
The best part about the KG trade was that it was an off-season trade where you could acquire more pieces. Right now, if you trade for Paul George, right now, you are now imploding a team who has worked hard to work together. Now, I'm not saying that you can't give away guys like that.
Yeah, in the one league that talent wins more than anything else.
But I'm saying you had all summer to make pieces, put pieces together when you acquired KG from the 7th player trade. You have nobody now. You can't keep going.
Do you not understand why
players.
No one's contract is, like, long? No one's
here. Do you
here
understand what I'm
term.
Saying, though?
Do I
you do. Understand what I'm saying?
And
the
I'm
fact that,
saying you're wrong. You got to trade everybody.
But you had the whole summer to put a team together. You don't have that summer.
But he's,
when
you know.
When they got KG, they won right away.
Because that's
never going to happen.
He was older than Paul.
What, the right away win?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a right away win could possibly be
to
anything is possible.
To do the right away win, though, we had to have Paul Pierce. We don't have that.
Right.
But so going back to the package, I think it starts with Marcus Smart, a Brooklyn pick.
Yeah.
Well, pick another guard and another player, and then probably a Celtics pick.
Turner and Zell. You know, like, yeah, it's 3 people,
you know,
and
someone to make the salary work. So, like, probably either Lee or Johnson or, you know, like someone with a higher salary.
Right.
Whatever other guard you want Rozier, you want Bradley, like, just pick one. I don't care.
And anything like that, you're probably right. It's probably Smart or Thomas.
Yeah.
You know?
Would you get rid of Thomas?
Yes. I would almost prefer, and I like Isaiah Thomas. I think
Smart's your least tradable player, and I'd get rid of him for.
No.
Yeah. I like Thomas as a player more than I like Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
But if you're trading for a star like Paul George, I almost would rather keep Smart and build with him and a star. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't think there's any way Indiana does it without getting Smart.
Of course,
back.
I'm just saying. Sure, I would do that, but I would do it
and give up the Brooklyn pick too, even this year's. Even though
right, because you how many draft? I was talking about that the other day with someone else, not on the show, surprisingly. You know, I trade that even if like they tank, because how many draft picks? Just, you know,
how many Darko Milicic's?
Yeah,
right.
Even Evan Turner, he was a high pick.
Yeah, I think he was 3 overall.
So I mean,
he was 3 overall.
Don't you take the guaranteed thing?
Yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, every time.
So 3 pick, you have Paul George, who's already good. Yes, sure. Thanks. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
Now I'm not opposed.
How many more times do we play Indiana? 2, 3.
Well, we play them next week, next Wednesday.
Oh, so we can do this again next
week? At home.
Yeah. Nice.
They're playing at home.
Maybe it's too soon to do it 3 weeks in a row. But
they're in a different division, so they play like 3 times.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
Well, we'll talk about this again for sure.
But we're going to come up with other ones.
How much is too much, though?
We were trying to. Maybe next week we'll spend some time thinking of other ones. Yeah. How much is too much?
How much is too much? I don't know. I mean, I know you get a match salary and everything.
There's no too much right now.
I don't know. I feel like acquiring Paul George with that many pieces and taking like a – I know you have
I think
to
you're getting sucked into the mediocrity.
I think I am. But I mean,
to talk about chemistry for this team, it's like chemistry for what? Are they ever going to win a championship with this team?
Not so much chemistry, but like where you trade so much that you're taking steps backwards. Now.
No, that's what they're all here for.
To take steps backwards?
No, they're here to be pieces to acquire something else.
I understand that, but like
– I don't know, but you're arguing
so you
against
acquired,
it.
You acquired a Paul George. You acquired a big man, and now what? Now who do you got left?
You have a star on your team.
What you're talking about is the difference between –
is he star power enough to make more people come?
You still have other chips.
That
you may or may not have traded away.
Dave, what you're talking about is the difference between trading for Melo – who was older and giving up everything you had versus trading for Harden, who was entering his prime. You know, you gave up a lot to get him, but you still had flexibility to get other people like Dwight Howard and Trevor Ariza and stuff. That's, you know, that's the difference. Are you going for Dwayne Wade, who's getting older? Are you going for, you know, a guy like Paul George who's still
in his prime?
Just
remember, gentlemen, you still have to factor in cold weather trades or cold weather cities. We had a whole segment on that last year.
Right, but you don't want to improve the team all of a sudden.
No, I do, but I feel like sometimes too much is too much.
So you'd just rather have a mediocre team?
No, it's not that. I wouldn't want to take steps backwards to acquire.
It's not. It's a step forward.
I don't know. It all depends on how you
look
at it.
What do you mean you don't know?
It all depends on how you look at it. I feel like it might be a small step backwards. Now, I'm pro Paul George, don't deny me, but I'm saying like now you also have to factor in,
dude,
cold weather.
I think
cities.
We should just like let's trade Zella for Paul George. That'd be awesome.
In a world,
Dave,
right?
There's
how
like,
easy
what?
Would that be?
There's how many?
Gazella's terrible this year, by the way. I'm sorry, boys.
Yeah,
sucks.
I know. Listen,
to get a star, there's a couple of different reasons why you would get a star. One is you trade for him,
right?
When you're talking free agency, you're talking about a guy that goes to win a championship, that goes to be the main guy.
I mean, that is the only way we get people
that
here
goes
is
for,
trade, so.
Or that goes for to play with his buddies.
Yeah.
Or that goes to
give me a list
be by
of Paul
beach.
George's friends right now.
Or you go to be by the beach, or
right.
You know,
Hollywood.
Go to Miami, go to Florida, so you don't have to pay income tax, right. Something like that.
Right.
So
that's why Jeter has a
right now.
Terrible.
You don't. Right now, you don't have any of those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Right now you have the only reason you have is if you go to the Celtics, you'll be the main guy.
Right.
And that's the lowest draw out of all of those, I think.
Right.
Right. So I think you have to get a starting piece. You have to get Paul Pierce, the next version of Paul Pierce here.
All right. So I don't know if you know, but what is his contract right now? Is he
off
is
the
he,
top of my head,
is
I think
he under a contract? Like how
he signed a long term deal a couple years ago. I think he signed for like two or three more seasons. We can look it up.
All right. So like now we have to do like a whole Kevin Love thing where it's like, if you get traded here and we gave away all these guys, will you sign with us again?
You're thinking about this way too hard.
But it's something that you have to think of.
It's far in the future, in Dave, order to, but to be honest, I'd rather be the Timberwolves now than the Celtics. You know, they talk about it like on the radio all the time. Would you rather be stuck in the NBA mediocrity, or would you rather have Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns?
Well, the Celtics have been stuck in that kind of mediocrity type thing.
We got to take
years,
a break.
So.
We're spending way too long on this, but we're going to talk about it again.
We're talking all of 90s.
And we're going
to
talk about
all the way to 2008, and then all of like the last three seasons. So
I
guess we're kind of used to it. Being
we'll talk,
a Celtics fan,
we'll
used
talk
to
a little bit more about this
BS.
At some point, I'm sure. Let's take a quick break. And
sure,
we'll
talk about it right away.
Yeah, we'll be back. They're playing again next week, so Paul George will be back. So we'll have some more interesting
stuff.
Talks, more things.
Stuff.
All right, we'll be right back.
Dude.
Hey, for all you Celtics fans out there who want to leave a message for the gang, the number is 508-731-GGTV. Once again, 508-731-4488. Thanks for tuning in and stay infected.
All right, welcome back. Okay, the last segment of the night, guys. This is called the Brooklyn Report. Every week from here on in, we're going to do a report about the Nets.
Check.
Okay? The Brooklyn Report. Currently 0-5, guys.
Nice.
All right, that's it. I must leave you with this question before we end this show. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Thanks to stats now, changed my whole life.
Absolutely no. Not.
I don't know. Tweet at us.
If you want to be an idiot like Kurt and not think that a hot dog is a sandwich.
You're out of your mind. Now, you know, stats, you brought up so much stuff.
Here we go.
I don't want to keep going on this, but stats brought this question up to us. Is a hot dog a sandwich? It's on bread. It's on one piece of bread, which I guess doesn't make a sandwich, but so is a meatball sub. So tweet at us, at
Gangrene TV. Call us, 508-731-GGTV. Tweet at us. Text us at that phone number. Send YouTube videos at us. I don't know.
I'm going to go make a hot dog sandwich.
Send us sandwiches.
Send us sandwiches.
Hot dog sandwiches.
I like sandwiches.
Hot dog sandwiches?
I like hot dogs.
Sandwiches.
Say it.
Say hot dogs are a sandwich.
Stay infected. We'll see you next week. Peace.